very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, and welcome back to your favorite figure skating podcast, which makes us kiss. It makes us cry. It makes me cry. Welcome back to the run through. I'm not Olympic champion Sarah Hughes, here with Ashley Wagner and Adam Rippon. And we haven't cried yet.
I was just going to say nobody's in tears at the moment.
Yet. There's still time. What a busy weekend, you guys. This was, I'll be the first to say it. This was too much figure skating for me.
Yeah, it was. You know what I'm going to say too? It's always too much figure skating when it's this hard to watch the figure skating. And that is just endlessly frustrating to me in the Challenger Series portion of the season.
I was going to say the same thing where I watched what I could find because it was not easy to find everything.
Right.
I watched a lot of TikToks.
I saw the whole women's event, Ashley, on TikTok.
Shout out to the dedicated fans on TikTok.
Yeah. Thank you to any dedicated people who are posting programs on any platforms. You are helping us a lot because
doing God's work.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like if you can't pay for a live feed and B, then be present for that live feed, it's like, yeah, this just isn't available. Like that was what was so great about the qualifier. Like Chinese Nebelhorn was all on YouTube, which is great.
I'm actually really surprised that the ISU doesn't just do that.
I think they do for some events if you're not in certain geographic areas where rights holders are ruining it.
They are ruining it. But you know who's not? Another shout out to TikTok is... We've come across and we've sent each other these TikToks of there is a run-through listener who go on a rampage and has been making fan edits of the show. And these are truly some of the best clips I've ever come across on the internet.
Yeah, we are going to try to up our social media game. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we know that we'll never match the game of some of the people who are already doing it.
Of the people who write the rules. Yeah. You can't match the game of the game.
We're going to try to join the game. We're going to try to join the game and be okay at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not great, but okay.
Yeah, we'll play.
We'll play. How about that?
We'll play.
We had a lot of players this weekend, you guys.
Yeah. Figure skaters, famously known as players.
Yeah, we switched it up this week. We're going to be on a rotation of who's watching what disciplines. So what do you have to look forward to in this episode? Adam's takes on dance and pairs. My takes on women. And best of all, Ashley's takes on the men.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited for everyone to get my takes on dance and pairs. That's going to be a great week for everybody.
Yeah, actually it is. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, they're going to be like, did you see this event? Do you know what you're watching?
I can't wait for that, actually. It's going to be great.
It's going to be like an alien trying to explain pairs and ice dancing to
people. I think it'll be I think we're going to get some iconic run-through moments.
Agreed.
So how should we deal with who leads us first?
One event at a time. I feel like it's going to be crazy if we just talk about disciplines going on. So should we start with Nebelhorn?
Sure.
Nepala to me felt like the stepchild of the weekend.
Completely agree. It had definitely a less of a strong field. Nebelhorn
it had less
was
favorite child energy for sure.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, I mean, it didn't even have a pairs event. So,
which made it easy for me to not find that footage. So I went check.
Were you looking for it at all? You're like Googling Nepala pairs event and not finding anything.
Well, because it was so well, I will tell you what I did. I went, wow, Maddie Skeezus looks so young. And I did watch her from like Nebelhorn Trophy 2023 all the way through before I was like, no, wrong year.
I absolutely watched a couple of misplaced Neville Horn wrong programs. Years. Where I'm like, yeah. Oh, they're repeating a program?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, Nepala 2024 was quite easy to find on the internet.
Too
so
easy.
Easy. So easy. Well, okay. How about we start with the men? Easy to watch event for the most part. Steven Gogolev, congrats. First major senior title. Double win, first in the short, first in the free. Okay, this men's event, I just want to say, and I fear that this is what we're going to see a lot of this year. We have a lot of like soft rock men's short programs, which
that feels very, I mean, since you're talking about Steven, soft rock program feels so Canadian.
It's yeah. so Canadian.
Yeah.
I
soft rock, hard fall. But not this time.
Not this time.
Not this time. No, the short program was like Secret Agent. There was a lot of finger guns, actually.
Sure.
He opened up with this quad toe, triple toe that was so easy. And my first note literally says, where has this guy been for years?
Years.
I mean, because Adam, you and I trained with Steven when he was like a wee little baby. And yeah. he was like touted as this up-and-coming kid who has so much talent, mm-hmm. and that has remained true for years. And I feel like he hasn't really delivered on that talent that everyone's been talking about. And this was the first time where I'm like, oh, hello. Here he is. Like, he finally actually did it.
I was also surprised to see that he was, like, he's 20 years old. I feel like he would be much closer to age in me just because we've been like watching him for so long. And like you said, like he was around, like he was at the rink at least at the end of like when we were training with Raphael.
Yeah, but he was like 8.
Yeah. And then now it's like making more sense of like, oh, he was in
no,
infancy.
No, we're old.
Right.
We're old. He's young. Right. So short program was like truly just so great for him. Super easy. His quads are looking great. Free skate was a little bit messier, but that opening quad sow in the free was absolutely insane. I went back and looked at his protocol. He got a +3 on it, like well deserved. And then looking over the free skate results, I got a little bit suspicious about the event because I wasn't watching it live. Because next up, I saw Roman Sadovsky was in second. So I'm like, oh, God,
oh, in the free skate. Yeah.
In the free skate. Right. I'm like, oh, my God, this event was a mess. And it was. It absolutely was. So I'm going to go up and literally just go right to Roman. He was second in the free skate, 5th overall. He skated to Claire de Lune and Photograph, and you cannot make me hate Claire de Lune. You just can't. I love this music.
I agree.
He was an absolute vision in purple. He looked like, do you guys remember Sky Dancers?
Yeah.
He looked like a sky dancer.
Okay.
Showed up as his best self. It was like the Roman that we all know that he can be. His landings looked great. Two quads, little bit dicey. But I mean, honestly, if he had actually managed that second quad combo, he would have been chasing Steven in the free. So that was really nice to see for him.
And also, hilarious is it of these two guys to see Keegan Messing announcing a comeback and decide we're going to do
we're
clean
gonna
programs
show up.
Now?
We're going to show up.
I was thinking that the whole time. I was like, Mike Slipchuk brought them into a room that had no exit, and he locked the door, and he said, lock
figure
in
it the fuck out,
or you're locked in this
get
room.
In or get out.
Mike Slipchuk is on the Skate Canada high performance staff for everyone who does not know him.
Yeah. And
I do like to imagine him locking them in a room.
Oh, yeah. And say, figure it out.
And saying, until it's you this, can... or there's going to be a cowboy hat in the kiss and cry come February.
Right. It's this or there's an American on the Canadian team yet again.
Again.
Yeah. You know that Alaskan? He's coming back to Canada, baby.
Fracking.
Wait,
he's threatening Canada becoming the 51st state to Stephen and Roman. He's like, we'll go with Trump if you don't get your shit together.
Uh-huh. And we all know how that's going.
And that has motivated them. I respect it.
Mm-hmm. To stand up.
Stand
for what's
up.
Right. That's
mm-hmm. for your Canada jumps. As its own country.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Keegan missing, I do just want to say that I, as another fellow Alaskan skater, competed with Keegan way back in the day at regionals. And there would be these like after parties at regionals, which are basically like ice cream socials. And he would be this kid who had yo-yos and he would do yo-yo tricks. And I just distinctly remember him being the kid with yo-yos doing yo-yo tricks, but he had a rat tail back in the day that was braided and it was really long. And that's all I have to say about that. That's like my distinct Keegan Messing
memory.
That is
so...
Thank you for sharing that.
It's, you know, some people are so who they are.
That's him. Yeah. Then you just put a cowboy hat on him.
Like a rat tail and like walking the dog with a yo-yo.
He's so good at
you naming tricks.
Oh, I remember the tricks. I can never do any of those.
She's doing it right now.
I can never do any of those.
She's like, but look at my cat's cradle.
I was like a cat's cradle guy.
Yes,
here's
were.
The London Bridge. You bite the string and pull it down.
Yes.
I like to make the London Bridge. Like a fortune
Dagny.
Teller.
Dagny, hold this piece for me.
Oh, you were like a
paper
like
fortune a... teller. Pick a color. Now pick a number.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Are you the fortune teller Sutnikova hired on Etsy?
Yeah, that's why I can afford
to. She's $53,000.
Yeah, that's why I can afford to bankroll this podcast with the 30,000 rubles I swindled from an Olympic champion.
Uh-huh, 8 years ago.
Speaking of which, go check out our Patreon.
speaking of also, swindling.
Swindling. Actually, that's not true. We just had a team meeting about all the things we're going to be offering you. But one thing we cannot offer you is a boy who can spin nice.
Oh.
That is just really few and far between in this event. Mm-hmm. But Roman Sadovsky is a nice spinner. Third in the free skate. One of our all-time favorites.
He you was guys, lovely.
I'm drinking a Starbucks in his honor right now.
I am drinking... Not a Starbucks, but I do have a coffee in his honor. Liam Kapakis, one of our absolute favorites.
Best Starbucks barista of all time.
I bet you he can make really good latte art. He just seems like he's got like the gentle touch for that, like a steady hand.
Mm-hmm.
Total quality. Everything was like really just easy to judge. Squeaky clean, like an easier program, but no problem.
What is he skating to again?
Oh, God. I don't know.
It's like some gladiator.
That's
something.
What I okay. was like. It's gladiator-ish. He's got like belts on him.
Sure.
Sure.
I'm seeing. If you oh, heard it's it, called Dragonheart, which does feel gladiator-ish.
It's
completely.
You've heard the music.
He had like
before.
Chest
yeah,
protection.
I know he's doing Ghost for the short program.
I could not find that short program, let me tell you. So I said,
listen,
I'll talk about the free.
Let's talk about the free skate. Nothing wrong with that.
We need to get into Pizza King.
Pizza King.
Andrew Torgashev of the U.S. He was second in the short program. This is one of my main complaints, soft rock. He's skating to the Scorpions. I'm not entirely sure if Shay choreographed it, but looking at the choreography, it looks like Shay Lin. Opening quad toe, it was like full form, so easy, great to see. I was like very pumped about that. But then the rest of the program was squeaky and I just got really annoyed at him because it's like you cannot afford to be doing that. It now is, this is not the season to be doing that kind of stuff. So not necessarily how he wanted it to go. Free skate also just rough in general. He was second overall, but he fell to fourth in the free. Footwork as usual, total highlight. And then finally, I'm going to bring up Lukas Brzyczki. He was fourth, fifth, third overall. We love a little freebie
sure.
podium.
The downward fall.
We
sure.
love yeah. a freebie podium.
Yeah.
Another soft rock short program.
I love his short program, though. I'm sorry. Lukas, I love this short. I was like eating it up the entire
okay.
time.
But like
this
he
is
was
where
also
I,
eating it
I,
up. So that's, I'll give you that. If you're going to buy into it, fine.
Mm-hmm.
His.
I bought stock into this.
Okay. Okay. I'll allow it. The note that I have for his free skate is that he really loves a hard to trace exotic program. And so this program is called Journey to the Orient. And so,
it's
right after his journey from Africa.
He's leaving Africa to go to, as we now see,
I don't
Orient,
even want to
Asia.
Say it.
No, yes. No, the Orient. On the Oriental Express.
I can't.
He loves, like I said, a hard to trace exotic program.
It's mostly like Middle Eastern music, correct?
I mean, again, hard to trace. I would say yes. He does.
Our cultural expert, Ashley Wagner.
Well, okay.
I would say yes.
He does flat hands, so I don't know. He's walking that fine line between appropriation, because you can't say what culture he's appropriating.
Why the reason I was asking about the Middle East is like that it is, I think, mostly Middle Eastern music, but even he's like misappropriating the cultural appropriation, because I think the Orient typically referred to like Far East countries, not the Middle East. So it was like that. So I'm confused as to what Orient we're talking about, what orientation we're going in.
I was
in.
Just going to say orientation.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
what is happening in this? You know what? He should just, you know, be on his journey.
We should wait for him to explain himself. Also, wait, did you guys see that he did like an ABC's interview?
Yes.
Like he did like, and it was like underappreciated. And he was like, women in our society.
Oh my God. This is the thing though. He might not always get things right in this sport, but he has my heart forever.
Yeah. I mean, I like Lucas Bridgeski.
Yeah. As a person.
It doesn't mean we can't criticize programs here and there.
He should be criticized a little bit for this.
I'm not even criticizing. I'm asking questions about what it is that we mean by some of the things we're calling this program.
I just want some more answers and maybe a little bit more structure.
And fewer questions.
Yeah, I just not so many questions.
More answers and fewer questions.
Especially if you're going to fall upwards, we should be giving more answers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, final man worth naming in this event, Kazuki Tamono. So he's skating to that, like, that's it, I like it, by Sophie Tucker. Again, another program where I'm like, I don't know if this is Shay, but this has Shay all over it. Why are you looking at me like that?
I looked up the Orient on Wikipedia. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at that.
I was like, oh my God,
she's looking at information.
Kazuki?
No, it does appear that the Orient originally referred to, was basically a term that people in Europe referred to anything east of Europe. So that could include the Middle East. And then I think over time, the modernization of that term and ultimately the discarding of that term, it was thought more as like the Far Eastern countries, but it originally referred to pretty much anything east of Europe.
Well, from Lucas Bridgeski's mouth to our ears.
And to Sarah's Wikipedia page.
I'm sorry. So I wasn't looking at you.
No.
I was looking at Wikipedia. I'm so sorry for the interruption.
I was terrified that I didn't get Kazuki Tamono's name right. I was like, did I do something wrong?
A pretty straightforward one, and you got it. You're
Thank
killing
God.
It.
Okay, great. So he's skating to a Sophie Tucker song that I'm, again, pretty sure was choreographed by Shailen Bourne, because it has Shailen all over it. And this really solidified my belief that I didn't know I had until this moment, that I firmly feel that the short program is only for club music or like stunning slow pieces where skaters can actually handle it.
Yeah.
That's
I
it.
Love Sophie Tucker,
That's
first
all I
of all. See. I think I like love this choice.
I love it.
I don't know who choreographed it. Shailen is listed as one of his choreographers, but I'm not sure who did what.
Then I feel like.
So.
I mean, just watching it, I'm like, that's
No, I believe
Shay.
You. Yeah.
It has to be.
That's
it's
a Tucker
so
head.
So good. That. He does a cartwheel. He does a one-handed cartwheel that looks stable and cool.
Interesting. I'm not sure that I believe that any one-handed cartwheels on the ice do look cool, but I believe you that it looks stable.
It looks stable, yeah. And it does look cool to me. I'm into it. The program is such a good fit for him. It's a great contrast to his long program. His long program is Halston, I believe, which is just like this beautiful, soft piece of music that free skate like was messy early season, mm-hmm. not great, but watching him skate it, like you see where it's going to go, and I think it's going to be a lovely vehicle for him. So it's nice to see like two contrasting pieces of music, and overall, this men's event was a men's event, and that's that.
Mm-hmm. And that's that.
Lovely. And that's that. You know, with Torgashev, I think that end the free skate, I love that ending choreographic step. I think it's like one of the best choreographic steps out there. I love it. But it feels like this theme and this kind of program is like the third year in a row where we're getting like some version of that same kind of thing. That's like my biggest sort of like
he's a footwork guy?
No, it's just sort of like this, like it's somebody singing and it's like royal-ish sort of, and it's like some horns are in the background, and then we get a big moment, and then it's like it feels like
it's a recipe. It feels like a recipe.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
That's how that's all I have to say about that. But I love the choreographic step. I think that was great.
I do too. I think it's great. Okay.
Should,
who do we want to go to next?
Do you want to hear about the women?
I want to hear about the women.
Do you want to say something about the women? I won't stop you.
Amber Glenn, that short program, I hope she's listening. You looked like $1 million, baby. Good for you. I love it. I have no notes. If that's your real hair, it looks amazing. If that's a like piece that you put on, it still looks amazing. I don't care. It's great.
Yeah. I have to say, when I saw the dress for the first time, I want you to know my thoughts. And mm-hmm. I want to quote scripture. And it's important. I think I do. And I don't like to get religious, but I'm going to. And so mm-hmm. I thought... and to quote the scripture, as I said, in the most biblical sense, mm-hmm. okay, I am beyond repentance, fame hooker, prostitute, wench.
I should have known where this was going.
Slut, harlotin. I loved it. It was absolutely, I went, that this is what like we've been waiting for.
That's the, by the way, the biblical word of Lady Gaga for those who did not catch it.
Oh, I was gonna say Paul.
It is Paul. It's Paul. Yeah, Paul.
I'm joking.
Also known as Paul. Lady Gaga, also known as Paul.
In the streets. Yeah.
Isn't Paul a Bible guy? You know, Paul.
Paul is a big Bible guy, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Bible guy, Paul.
Huge Bible guy. Yeah, so Amber Glenn won Neville Horn Trophy by placing second in both programs.
Falling upwards. We love an upgrade.
I agree with you completely, Ashley. Like, this program is it's so good. And I mm-hmm. actually heard the audio of this program before I saw the program. Like, I heard the music. And the choir version of Like a Prayer is, I don't know if you guys know this, but often used on TikTok when people tell like their most embarrassing stories. And it's this like hilarious trend. I mean, the most famous one that went around was like this person who did like an olive oil wrap on their hair, and you like had to scroll to see all these like crazy shit that happened to them as they like got locked out of their house. And like, it's hilarious, but it became this trend where people told these insane, embarrassing stories with that choir, Like a Prayer song in the background. So when I first heard the music without seeing the program, I was like kind of laughing because I'm conditioned to think it's funny. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like my brain.
Yeah.
And so I was really curious how this would go. And I love it. I love it. Like, I think this is an Olympic program. It's awesome.
Yes. The necklaces.
The necklaces.
And do you see the details in the necklaces?
The A.
Lisa McKinnon, good job.
The packaging, the program, even the performance value for this early in the season, like Olympic.
It's Olympic.
Yep.
So good. And she looked so calm, you know, like mm-hmm. I feel like she just came across like relaxed and ready to go. And the triple axels that she did in both programs looked just easy, smooth, amazing. Like,
I know. Yeah. I was like, do a quad. Stop being a bitch and do a quad.
Yeah. Do a quad axle.
Put on another necklace and do a quad.
She needs that like easy breezy cover girl moment sponsorship, and it just needs to be for the triple axle. Like, yeah. This is free marketing advice. You're welcome.
To cover girl.
To cover girl, and then also come our way.
Yeah, right.
Easy breezy, the run through.
Yeah, not a sponsor, could be.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It's a fantastic. That short program is fantastic.
Yeah. Did you think she should have been second
in the short program? No.
Uh-huh. Me either.
Well, I'm going to be honest, I thought she won. Because I was like, I don't have to know what happened because Sarah's watching this. So I watched it and was like, she won.
She did win overall, but she was second in the short program to Jia Shin from Korea, I will say, like, and they were like less than a point apart. And obviously, ultimately, Amber came away with the win. Jia Shin's short program is stunning. You know, like Ashley, what you were saying about how short programs should either be like club or be really classical, nice if the skater can pull it off. Like, this is the skater that can pull it off. It's glorious. Did you guys see this program?
Yeah, I've seen everything that we'll talk about.
What did you think of Jia Shin's short program?
I thought Jia Shin's short program was beautiful. I think that she should get her colors done. We don't need a beautiful girl in a gray dress who is obviously a summer or a spring. We don't need her in a gray dress. She
also
needs to
take
be in
gray
a
off the ice. Take gray
no
off the
gray.
Ice.
No gray. But I'm going to say this, and that I know you're going to get there, but I thought the top four in the short program were all very, very good. But I think that the performance quality of like Mona Chiba and Isabel Levito is so up there, and it just felt senior to me in a way where, in my eyes, and I'm very curious of your opinion, that performance quality just felt more mature. And this is nothing against like Jia Shin. I thought she was a vision. I thought she was lovely. I thought everything she did was meticulous. It was beautiful. It was very well done. But for me, I would have had her behind all three of them.
Well, I think I don't agree with that. I feel like what they did with let's look at Jia and Isabeau specifically. Like, Jia Shin beat Isabeau by 3 points or so in the technical score, and then Isabeau beat Jia Shin by a little less than a point, maybe half a point in components, which you could say that the components gap is too small, and I would give you that. But I still think like the technical difference between those two was stark. Jia Shin's jumps in the short program specifically, because she had trouble in the free skate, but in the short program specifically, were like textbook. And we all know that Isabeau does not have textbook jumps. Like, that's just not her technique, and that's fine. So I'm okay with Jia beat you in the technical and you beat her in the components, and one person edges the other out. I thought Jia Shin was better than Isabeau Levito in this short program.
Okay. I mean, I went and I looked at the protocol because I was like, I'm curious, because it went, especially with Amber, I was like, how did she beat her out? And I mean, when you look at the protocol, it all makes sense, right?
Footwork sequence messed up a loop. Like, if Amber was clean, like, I think that was really the only thing holding Amber back was like, had she just landed clean on her triple loop, she easily would have been in first place.
Right. But it was like, you looked at Gia's sheet, it's like, okay, the footwork, yeah, gets this big GOE.
I do think Gia Shin's I do think her components are a little high for just compared to the other women. But at the same time, like, she did Chopin. Ashley, I don't know if you saw it, but that's what she was doing, Chopin. And it just really suits her, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's just really, and she does a great job of like expressing the music with her body to me. Now, her packaging be improved? Yes.
Can
for
she
sure.
get her colors done? Sure.
Hopefully.
Summer, spring.
Adam will do them for free.
I mean, I have the swatches.
Them. Where I feel like I'm not familiar with her as a skater. Is this her first year senior? Is this her first time just really finding some success? Like, where?
It's her first year senior.
Okay.
That's
exciting.
She's been very, very good as a junior for several years. It's like her and Mao Shimada of Japan have been like the top neck two juniors for several years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Gia Shin is eligible for the Olympics, age eligible, and Mao Shimada is not. I expect Gia Shin to make the Korean Olympic team.
I think
so. We should see her in Milan.
I do too.
Mona Chiba, on the other hand, to Adam's point, I think ultimately this was just like technical, and the only thing you really can pick apart are the components. But Mona Chiba got fourth in the short program. I think probably Mona Chiba, she got the lowest components of these top four of Gia Shin, Amber Glenn, Isabel Levito. I don't think that's fair. I thought Mona's performance was very, very good. Obviously, her skating skills are incredible. So I don't think that's right. They were all very close. But yeah, Mona's performance in this short program is great. Her landings were a little hooked on her combo specifically, and then even like on her solo triple, like she kind of like looks like she's like leaned back and like she might fall, and then she fixes it midair like a cat. But this program it's so fun. She does this like great hair whip near the end. Like, I feel like she's improved a lot in being able to project as a performer.
Yeah. I agree. I was like, maybe she didn't go to the club, but she at least knows the address of the club.
She looked up the club on Google Maps.
She's seen the promo video for the club.
On Instagram. Yes. Yeah. She's seen it. She's seen someone repost it. And she went, oh, that's interesting. I think with her, with so many people are repeating programs this year, I think with her, she could really do with like a new costume for this program, and it would give it new life, because like you said, Sarah, I think her performance quality has improved a lot this season.
Yeah.
If you repeat a program, new costume. I feel like that should be a rule. If you're gonna reuse something, and this is coming from me, so treat this as Bible.
Someone who repeated costumes.
Expert advice. it's the least you could do.
It's a cute costume. I think that just makes it feel fresh.
Yeah,
you know?
It does.
It just makes it feel fresh. But no, I think this program is very improved because she is a much improved performer. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I agree. I wouldn't hate to see a new costume. But anyway, so those are your top four. After the short, those are ultimately going to be your top four overall, but in a different order. So Amber gets second in the free skate and wins overall. She does an even better triple axel in this free skate than she did in the short program. It's insane. It's crazy. She falls on a loop, which was the jump that gave her trouble in the short program as well. She said
she just doesn't like loops. It gave her issues last year too, right? Isn't that like
but
the
she
problem?
Does. This is the problem.
No, she's a loop girl, but then she gets into competition and all of a sudden loops don't work
for her. I don't know what it is. She said that she's had a little bit of pain like on her side and a little bit in her back. That's what she said. I don't know if that's the problem or if it's like a loop mental thing. Who knows? But that was basically the only big mistake that she made. And so, yes, Adam?
I what I think is that like she is like these loop problems, it's the last jump of all of these things. In the short, she was clean until the loop. In the free, she was clean until the loop. And I think it's this like, oh my God, I'm doing a clean program. And instead of like attacking that loop, like she attacks the triple axel, she's on the defense of like, I'm so close. Like just do what you got to do. It's smaller. It's like, her body is defending itself instead of attacking. I don't think it's the loop. I think it's just the, like, I'm so close to this clean skate and everybody's on my fucking ass about it. And here we go. Just do a loop. And it's just like, girl, you are, like I said, fame, hooker, prostitute, wench.
Yeah. Like own it. Do the loop.
Own it.
Yeah.
But so she comes out on top and really like, I mean, she couldn't have made, I don't think, I mean, outside of these mistakes, like, but in general, couldn't have made a better opening statement for herself in Olympic season.
She looks like this in September.
Like she easily looks the best of all the U.S. Olympic team contenders that we've seen compete easily, including the reigning world champion. Like Alyssa didn't look this good. Like Amber looks, and there could like, that makes me a little nervous to say, right? Yeah. But like, you know, she's just got to like, as long as she's like managing her peaking and tapering like throughout the season the right way, like these are great, great programs, which is kind of the foundation you want to start with, is like, she's in good shape. These are great programs. Like those are the two things you really want in Olympic season. So good for her. Mona Chiba wins the free skate and ends up second. Overall, less than a point behind Amber. Monet's free skate is to Romeo and Juliet. She was completely clean. She was great. I mean, she was really great. I think this is it's Romeo and Juliet. It's like you've heard this music before. So it's, you know, it's not anything that's like brand new, but it suits her well. I think it's a good contrast with the short program, Donna Summer, you know, of it all. And I think it's a great contrast with the vibe of that short program and just shows off her versatility. And she already seems just very comfortable in this program. So, I mean, Mona Chiba, we've talked about it. Like Adam, I think, said early on, dark horse for Olympic gold. Like if she can just skate clean, I mean, she's going to be right there with these other women. So I don't even, dark horse is probably unfair to say, she's a world medalist, but she's like in that conversation, for sure.
I mean, the women's event is so close. I feel like there's so many athletes right now that really could fight for that podium.
It could be anybody on
it
the
could
podium.
Be anyone.
It could be us. It could be us on that podium.
It could not. We saw Amber's triple axels. It could not be us.
Yeah, I don't think it could be us. Yeah, and then so Jia Shin she skated to Lieberstrom, so she's got two very classical programs, which I love classical music. It's just not showing off much versatility, but she's, I mean, fresh out of juniors, like,
skate
whatever.
To what you know you can skate to.
Exactly.
These are senior debut programs.
Yes.
And they're
totally.
Very good.
Yeah.
I mean, the short program is awesome. I really do love the short program. The free skate, I think the air went out of it as soon as she started having trouble with the jumps, which was relatively early. And so that made this program feel a bit long because it just felt like she had trouble really performing it once she started making big jump mistakes. So that is what it is. I'd be interested to see it done cleanly if this program is better and feels a little shorter in that circumstance. So she gets fourth in the free skate and she gets third overall, which I don't agree with. I do agree with her getting fourth in the free skate, but I ultimately think Isabeau, who gets third in both programs, should have been third overall. I did not have a problem with Jia Shin beating Isabeau in the short program, but I do think Isabeau should have won overall because Isabeau did quite a nice free skate as well as a very nice short program. Like she skated well here. And so I think that's my only complaint. I mean, it's Nebelhorn Trophy. It's early. I'm not going to sit here and be all like riled up about the injustices, but that would be my complaint. Isabeau, we talked about this a little, I think, but you know, her two programs are programs we have seen her do before with different music.
She's not pushing herself.
Yeah, I mean, her short program is, it's Breakfast at Tiffany's with different music behind it, more Italian music behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing Cinema Paradiso for her free skate. She's actually doing a really beautiful rendition of a song from Cinema Paradiso. And I really actually very much like the music. It's very pretty. But Isabeau is very staying in her lane, in her range, doing what she can do. And she's, I mean, she's skating really well. She's already skating a lot. She already skated a lot better here than she did at Cranberry Cup. And as we mentioned, helps to have costumes, which she didn't have at Cranberry Cup. And so that just like dresses the programs up automatically. So Isabeau skated really well. I don't know like where we are in the American picture for these women for the Olympic team, but obviously Amber was great and Isabeau skated really, really well too. Like you had a good weekend if you're a Glenhead or an Isabarb or both.
You really did. I'll also say that when I was watching the short program of Amber and then of Isabeau, I started to get really excited for like the Olympic viewers. Let's say, you know, everything goes well and these two girls are on the team. I think at this point we might expect that. And I was getting so excited because I was like, there's going to be something for everybody. Like,
yes.
How? Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be a viewer who loves that, like, very kind of iconic figure skating look and style of Isabeau. And then there's going to be somebody who sees Amber's Madonna program and be like, oh my God, this is going to get a lot of people like into like what they're doing. I was so excited as like, as somebody who's thinking of like, what will this look like when we watch programs like at the Olympics? And I was like, God, this is going to be like, there's something for everybody.
The event speaks to so many different kinds of fans, which is really exciting. I'm curious. I mean, after these, we've really had like two events to compare the women's team against. And honestly, like with all of this, it makes me wonder what needs to be adjusted for Alyssa. Because of these three women, I mean, four really considering Sarah as well, but like, Alyssa is the one with all of these athletes where I'm like, I don't know if her content is the strongest right now. And the
only
other
thing
two
that makes me feel that like, let it just wait is that I felt that way with the exception of her short program from last year at the beginning of last season of like, ooh, I don't know if this long program is, if she's like up for the challenge yet.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. Her team has so far been able to manage her timing pretty well, like, so I guess we just trust that is gonna happen.
Trust and believe.
And speaking of something for everyone, there's one more thing that I want to say outside of the top finishers here, which is Hana Yoshida.
Kill Bill short program.
Yeah, that's for
this
me.
This is the Lara Naki Gutman of Japan. This is such a weird program and it's so like funny and in a good way, like choreographed funny, like fun to watch. And like, I will say even when she fought, like she fell in this short program a couple times and it felt like she was doing like a slapstick routine, like a performance still with the falls. Like I was
Uma Thurman, she fell in Kill Bill.
Yeah, well, it's part of the movie. It's part of the movie. So anyway, I love Hana Yoshida. The jumps are just not there.
Yeah.
But I like she's our weird girl of Japan. And I really love the
Every
lean in.
Every country needs
that.
A weird girl.
Please. Yeah. More. We need more.
More weird girls, please.
Yes.
You please. Know who the U.S. resident weird girl is?
Sonia Hillmer.
Sonia Hillmer 100%. Is our resident weird girl. My favorite.
That's so true.
Adam, do you want to take away the pairs in the dance? Who do you want to start with?
I want to take them away. Yes.
Take them away.
All right. So this is what I'm thinking. Let's start with the pairs. We'll go into the dance. So with the pairs in this event, this was going to be a really exciting event because we had the first, the top two teams from the World Championships going head-to-head this early. So you had Haza and Volodin competing against Miura and Kihara.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the end of the day, Haza and Volodin, they edge out the Japanese for the title. I have to say that these two teams, they the short program felt like I was watching a World Championships.
Mm-hmm.
And the free skate, these two teams, are they have great free skates.
Yeah.
I really like the way that the Japanese look this season. I like their programs. I can imagine watching them at the Olympic Games. And for Haza and Volodin, I want to say that this is the first time that I watched them skate, and I felt like they had a style to them. In the past, I've watched them, and I feel like these are two like perfectly programmed robots who will go out and do everything that they're supposed to do. And this was the
computer demonstrations of pair elements.
ISU tutorials.
100%.
And it was the first time I watched them skate the short program and the free skate, and I felt something. And I felt there's heart to this, and there's some feeling behind it. And I felt excited watching the free skate, and I felt like I felt some like passion behind what they were doing. I think that they've really settled into, well, one, I think having some German citizenship didn't hurt, gave them a bit of heart.
That never hurts.
It never hurts. I'm talking about Nikita Volodin, who got his German citizenship.
Famous German.
Famous German. Volodin, famous German name. but I just, I thought that they were great. And it's going to be, it's like, it's feeling very exciting for that, that Olympic title. It mm-hmm. does feel like there's a rivalry really bubbling in a way that I felt like if the Japanese were clean, it could be the Japanese easily. I feel like the gap is closing. The Germans edge out the Japanese by less than a point. The U.S. champions are also at this event, and they edge out the Italians also by less than a point. The name mm-hmm. of the game here was being close enough that you can scare everyone thinking that you could be any placement, but by doing it by less than a point.
Did you agree with the order that everybody ended up in?
I did. Because I think like in the past, if I knew what everybody was doing technically, I would have felt like, well, the Japanese should end up on top. But for me, this was a real change in my opinion of them, of like, yeah, they're starting to make me feel something. There's something there. They can create a moment for me that's going to be really special when they skate these programs like in a few months. And I mean that, like, not that it wasn't special here, just in a way that like I can see this growing and building and turning into something even better. Because even at a World Championships, even last year in Boston, I was like, yeah, they're skating a clean free skate, but I wasn't like captivated.
There's totally. Yeah, it just, yeah, there wasn't a lot of like, it was hard for you as an audience member and me as an audience member to feel like emotionally invested in what they were doing.
Yeah.
Whereas I have always been able, I think, to get emotionally invested into Riku and Ryuchi's programs because they really have like heart on their sleeves when they skate.
Yes. That's exactly how I felt. Sarah, did you watch this event? Did you watch it?
No.
Okay. Did you watch the top two teams or you?
Yes, I did. No, I did see the top two teams.
And do you feel the same way that about that gap closing of like somebody's making me feel something in a way that like that team never did?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's hard, right? Like, Miura and Kihara, not to say they can't get better, because obviously every team can improve, but they had less far to go than Haza and Volodin, who really did need to work on this performance part of their skating and the, like, finding material that felt like they were connected to it. Whereas like Miura and Kihara don't have that problem and have never had that problem. So they're almost at a disadvantage because you look at it and you expect to see Miura and Kihara pulling you in and doing a great program that feels emotional and has a lot of heart. And when somebody, so they meet your expectations, mm-hmm. right? And then Haza and Volodin exceed them, which really kind of puts the Japanese team at a disadvantage, even though
they're not,
they're still
right?
skating at an extremely high level. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's really like, it's going to be fun to watch them. And I think it's good that Haza and Volodin are already making this impression now, mm-hmm. so that when we get to the Olympics, hopefully that expectation level is about the same for everyone. And then it becomes who skates the best on the day
yeah,
to win.
Exactly. It's making me very excited for the pairs this season, because as it always happens in an Olympic season, people show up and they get ready and they're prepared and they're at an Olympic level. And it's this event made me really excited.
I want to ask what happened to Leah Pereira and Trent Michaud, because they were a bit lower than I expected to see them, and I didn't get a chance to watch their programs yet.
Well, that would
they
make
were sixth?
Two of us, because that okay. was absolutely a program I couldn't find from this season of the Nebelhorn
well,
Trophy.
Well, I'll tell you what happened on paper, which is that they got 11th place in the short program,
okay, wow.
which is sort of hard to come back from. It appears to have been a invalidated, they lost a lift, so they must have put down this lift, which is a huge loss of points. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's what it is. I didn't see exactly what happened, but as, that seems like a fluke.
Yeah.
You know,
as somebody who is not a pair skater, I can tell you, you got to keep those lifts up because there are a lot of points.
You got
to. Yeah.
You
come on, boys.
Girl in the air.
Keep those girls up there.
You got to keep that girl in the air.
Yeah. You got to feet on the ground, girl in the air, please.
Skating 101.
Yes, and you'll learn a lot here on this podcast
yeah.
about that. Mm-hmm. Fame hooker, prostitute wench.
Paul.
In the most biblical sense, I am beyond repentance.
Repentance. Fame hooker, prostitute wench. I mean, I'm still thinking about that amber dress. I was like, oh my God, it looks like right now plan A is the triple axel. Plan B's, she's got those in her pocket. That's what that dress looked like to me. I was completely into everything about that dress. Okay, I'd like to turn my attention to the dance. Okay, so we got to see a lot. Now, what these senior B competitions to me, what this is about is like, this is more about, like you mentioned this, Sarah, that this is the beginning of the season. This is what we're seeing the material. You can't really like, you know, pitchfork and, you know, and fire. What is that thing people do?
And brimstone.
Yes. You can't really do that for these senior Bs. Things like it is what it is. The scores are what they are. So this is us just getting a first opinion.
They teach us something, I think, about where people might fall, especially when there are multiple teams from the same country at the same event early. That can always be very interesting.
Yes.
And I think you'll get to that in when we talk about Nepala more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I still think right now it is too early to be drawing too many conclusions. Mm-hmm. But go on, Adam.
And so in my breakdown, I want to give sort of an analysis of like what we've seen, focus less on like the results, right? This isn't results based. This
no.
is scene based.
That's what I'm talking about every single day in my work.
Exactly. So at Nebelhorn, our biggest players here are going to be Fear Gibson, who were on the world's podium in Boston, and the Americans Carrera and Ponomarenko.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Ponomarenko and Carrera, I thought they looked really good. I really like this short dance. It's really fun. I can't wait to see it grow. I think it's going to grow a lot. I can see like them still trying to work out the bugs. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a way where it's like it's still early in the season. Mm-hmm. I like this a lot on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I was really excited because Fear and Gibson always put out this like really fun, innovative. I feel like they're one of the most innovative teams on the scene right now. They're always kind of like pushing boundaries a little bit, and there's been a lot of talk of like, okay,
they're at least like one of the campiest,
and we love to camp. Come on, we love a little camp.
Ashley loves to camp.
I love
things that are camp, but I don't love to camp. And I just want to clarify that for the audience.
Oh, I hate camp. I hate camping.
I don't want to sleep outside. Ashley's the only one here who will sleep outside.
Yeah, on purpose.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm not doing that on purpose. It would be a complete accident.
Yeah. How did this happen again? By accident.
It's an accident.
Down here again.
Yeah. So I was excited to see the Spice Girls short dance, and I was really interested to see this like Scottish themed free dance from this team. I like the short dance. I think that it's good. In the free dance, the Scottish theme, I like the idea of the Scottish theme. Here's the thing. Bagpipes, they can make me cry. They can make me weep. But with this team, I wanted to have like a bagpipe in there that was going to make me sob and that make me feel proud to have no Scottish blood. I think in a way where it was like, I could be Scottish if I wanted to.
You and sure? Not a one?
I felt like I wanted to be Scottish, but I felt like they could have made me
Scottish.
Really want to be Scottish.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I like am brave Scottish.
Heart. Yes.
Scotch, I think, is... I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But, no, I think it's...
Well, it's funny, like, some people will say, like, Sketch. If you have both in your blood, like, my mom will say, like, oh, we're Scotch-Irish. So I am sometimes, like, whatever. I'm a quarter Scottish because my grandfather's from there.
Okay.
Came over on the boat.
Bragging.
Literally.
Wow. Mayflower?
The Mayflower, yeah. I was born in 1603, so.
Oh, my God. Celeb. Wait, what? Famous.
But yeah, I'm with you, Adam, but I'm reserving
judgment
because I actually do really like the concept of this program, and I'm a little disillusioned with the number of teams at the top that are not doing material that feels fresh, and so I want to give this a little more time to grow into something because I'm on their side. Like I'm
yes.
like,
completely.
Yes, like keep going. Like that's basically where I am. Is I'm like, okay, yes, keep going.
I agree.
I'm the same. I'm absolutely the same. A little oh, Danny boy. the pipes, the
kidding?
Pipes they're calling, that would have made me cry. I would have been like, you know, whatever. I would have been like, put the Scottish flag up, let it should fall down from the ceiling.
You would have painted your face. You would have painted your face.
Oh my God, I would have looked like Mel Gibson Braveheart.
Right? No, that's
I would have been in the audience looking.
Can
like
I
that.
Just say one thing?
Please.
You can say one thing.
You can say multiple things. Okay.
Two things if you
their, cards right. Their short dance is Spice Girls, correct?
Correct.
But cover. It's not Spice Girls. It's Spice Girls cover.
I think yes.
So strike one for me.
Oh, okay.
Because there is a team out there skating to the Spice Girls.
This is what I was going to say. Whereas when it comes to Spice Girls programs... There's a Finnish team who skated at Nepala, Yuka Orihara and Juho Pirinen. And they do the Spice Girls.
I love them.
They do the Spice Girls the way that I was.
Would do it. Yes.
Right.
Okay. So that is my one thing is like we're seeing it.
Well, talk
done.
About teams that are camp. The only team maybe that can outflank Fear Gibson on the camp spectrum is those two Finns who so sadly cannot go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like devastated, but they're great.
I
they're
love
so
them.
Good.
They're
anyway,
great.
I love them.
Yes. I think they're using some like remix covers, Ashley.
Yeah. So that's one of my issues. My other issue in the free dance, I don't necessarily think that extension is their strong suit. And I think that the way that this free dance exists stylistically highlights that a lot, and that just kind of irks me a bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I also think that that's why they're doing this. Like, they're trying to show that they can be something else, that they can grow and do that. That's what I feel like is part of the goal of this type of program, So we'll see. Again, I want to like give it a little time. Maybe they will by the end of the season make me feel like, yeah, they can do this. They can do this style. We will see. But yeah, this isn't really the lane that they typically live in, and it shows.
I think with this team, there's one thing that you can always count on them to do, and it's to show up in shape, ready, and like in fitness ready condition. And I think that like the more time they have with this program, I think that they're going to win me over. I'm not really concerned in that respect. I think, Sarah, we're totally aligned in like the way that we're thinking of like, give it some time,
mm-hmm.
let them settle into it. And then I think I will have my face painted by the end of the season.
I can see that happening. I'm inclined to like this program as it is, because the 500 miles is like a soft spot in my heart.
Same.
Because Ziegler Kiefer did this as a short program in pairs at the 2018 Olympics, and it was just such a great program. I loved it so much. Ashley knows. Ashley loved it too. And so I'm already like on Lila and Lewis's side. I'm like, yes, keep going.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Keep going. It's an original idea. Stay in line. And just keep taking it down there, and then just straighten your legs on your way down there. That's all.
Well, somebody who straightened their legs on the way down, we got to see at Nepala. We got to see Dune 2, where Smart Deke did Dune 2. They have this like move in the free dance, which totally, like, I really like the idea of them. You know, I know Sarah was talking about, this is not an original concept. This is something that worked really well last season. They're in the same costumes as last season, but like having a new program, I think they did a really nice job of reinventing a bit. They have this really fun moment that I love, where they are sliding on one knee and they both slide into the splits.
Yes.
And then get up. And I went, okay, you earned your Spanish citizenship. Congratulations, mm-hmm. Tim Deke.
You gave him
because
the passport.
Yes. One of the requirements, a lot of people don't know this, to get Spanish citizenship is
splits.
Can you do a full split? Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nobody talks about that.
No,
not enough.
They don't.
Not enough.
I do wonder if the plan is to stay in the same costumes. I have to think not.
Oh, I feel like no. No.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's
in ice dance.
No.
There's just no way.
Olivia?
No. Right. No, like no. Olivia would never do that. She wouldn't. I trust her too much. Olivia, if you're out there. Don't do that.
We trust you.
We trust you.
What do we think of this program? What do we think?
Adam thinks it's a good reinvention. I'm somewhere in the middle on it right now. I'm sensing, Ashley, that you are not all the way there.
Well, okay. So as we know, I see something once, I hate it the first time.
We do.
Right? So let it be known. I've only seen it once. And it's an uphill battle because I love, 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 love. It might be one of my favorite programs of all time, their original Dune. And so it's going to be really hard for them to top that. So currently I don't like it. And I think it could grow on me, but the like techno at the end stresses me out.
I'm with you on the techno.
I don't like the techno, but I think they have some really cool moments, like you said, that like slide where it's just like so still, they're sliding on their knees into the, so cool. I miss the like lift. I miss that. It's either you just do that exact same program or you have to do something entirely new. And I just kind of now I'm like, I wish they had just done something entirely new.
Yeah, or kept the same program.
And yeah, I do
the
think other one's
they
better.
In this like no man's land between those two things, which is, it's an odd place to be.
Yeah, but I get why they did this.
Yeah, I get why they did it. I will give them the same grace as I am giving Lila and Lewis. I mean, not giving it to them, but giving myself some grace to wait on my full
Don't
opinion
give it to
of
them.
It. I want to see the new
costumes.
Yeah.
Well,
and I want to see what adjustments come out of
Yeah.
You know, performances before the Grand Prix, like, I know that they are gonna adjust this program. Like, they're not, yeah, it's not gonna look exactly like this all season long.
Yeah.
And there will be, I think, some additional flourishes and transitions that make it feel better. And
yeah,
we will just see where that takes us. But yeah, I mean, when you initially see something that's just a modification of something you really liked, it's like listening to Taylor's version of a song that you memorized when you were 17, and the mm-hmm. extra little flourishes in the background of like a new steel guitar are like, this isn't the song that I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to listen to this one. And I don't want to feel guilted into listening to it because she doesn't own her old music, which is a mm-hmm. situation I found myself in for many years. Right.
Yeah, I listen to the old
music. But that's what it feels like, you know, like where you love a song and then it gets updated and your brain is telling you it's not supposed to sound like this. Yeah. And I think that's what happens, especially in the early part of this season, where your brain is still used to the other version of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm someone who has a hard time with change.
How would we know that?
I don't know. I want the old Dune or something different, but I mean, I know that they're going to make whatever they do stunning because I think they're a really talented team. I trust Olivia Smart with my life. So mm-hmm. whatever they end up doing, it's going to be fabulous. I just currently right now in this moment really miss old Dune.
I think also, you know, their back is against the wall where our last memory of it is the like final form of it from the World Championships. Then it's the same theme and it's a program where it's like at its infancy stages. I think that they have a unique opportunity to kind of pull from the original and then, you know, troubleshoot what they're doing right now to then by the end of the season, we get like the fully final version of this program. So that's what I think is going to happen. But mm-hmm. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
They did lose the rhythm dance to Tashler and Tashlerova.
The rhythm dance standings at this event were fascinating.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. This was a fascinating rhythm dance result.
Social experiment.
It was an experiment for sure. I'm going to say that the Tashlers for the rhythm dance, they start with my favorite J-Lo song off the mm-hmm. bat. You cannot beat how they start. In the midline step, they both fall smack to their knee, choreographed.
Oh.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Ashley's eyes are so wide.
About to like DM them and be like, are you okay?
Are your knees okay? Yep. You can still do that because
get off your knees.
No, get on your knee. Singular.
Knee.
Get on your knee.
Yeah.
I like the rhythm dance, but it does like it loses me towards the end. In the free dance, they skate to the Matrix.
Hell yeah.
And it's
good sibling music.
It's good sibling music because you're both fighting, right? Like which
right.
is a normal sibling
this
thing
should,
to
man
do.
Man versus machine music that we good sibling music. Anytime we hear something like good sibling music.
Coldplay. Good
yeah.
I'm making a
music.
Playlist.
Yeah,
the Matrix, music. Coldplay. Yeah,
good sibling music.
Now, I like this. I like this free dance. Again, I've mentioned this before. I mentioned this a lot last season. That my least favorite thing in the entire world is the character step.
Mm-hmm.
The Tashlers do the character step at the end, where it does feel like you're trying to do like a dance break. This is not their fault. Like this is the fault of what
of the system they exist
is being
within.
Required. Yes. But what is their fault is in the character step, they get to almost the wall, the judge's wall, and I see brother Tashler on his knee, and I see sister Tashler, and I'm going to describe it to you as what happens. I see her interlace her fingers.
Uh-huh.
Then I see her put her elbows onto the ice as if she was going to do a plank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I see her put the crown of her head to the ice.
Oh, absolutely not.
And then I see, and absolutely not. You're almost 4 minutes into a routine. I know you're exhausted.
And you're
right?
starting a headstand?
No, you're a full-bodied woman. Get your feet out of the air and get them on the ice. You're one of the best skaters in the world. She
Use
is
your
one
feet.
Of the best skaters I've ever seen. Why Fastest. Are her feet in the air?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, what did we just say in the Paris event, skating 101?
Feet
Girl
on
in
ice.
The air, feet on the ground.
Exactly.
Feet on the ground, safe and sound.
Yeah. Please.
Red touches yellow, you're a dead fellow.
Feet touches ground, you're staying around.
Yeah.
In the top of the
safe
standings.
Safe and sound. Now, in this like at Nepala, there was something that I found interesting. I did not get to watch their programs, but Lepreva and Brousseau, not on the podium. Green and Parsons, seventh in the rhythm dance. This free dance that they have, I am absolutely in love with this free dance. I think it's every step and every element to me when I watch it feels like they tried to find a way for it to look surprising, for it to look new, to reinvent it in some way. Mm-hmm. Every time I thought they were going to go left, they go right. Every time they'd go forward, I thought they'd go backwards. Yeah. Every moment throughout this free dance really caught me off guard in a really great way. This is a fabulous free dance that Green and Parsons have this season.
I love that.
It's fabulous. It's very high end. It feels very, very high end. And to me, this, like, I felt like with Michael's injury, it felt like a little bit that they like got to this point where they were just like up against a wall. And it didn't feel, I felt like, how are they going to get over this hump? And this program for me feels like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Ashley, did you get to see it?
No.
Just wait until you see it at
I've
the
seen
Grand
their,
Prix.
I've seen their rhythm dance, which I think is just like very cute.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's, but this, cute. The free dance is.
Is where like, they're shining.
Oh my God. It's
But they're
it's
a
phenomenal.
Team that like really when they can highlight their artistic abilities, they shine.
Yeah. And I think that they're, you know, I like that they try to go back and forth and push themselves, but and this feels like a reinvention of like different themes that they've taken on before, but I really like it. Sarah, did you have any more comments from this like dance event? Did you see any of this dance event?
I did see some of it, yeah. I thought one of the more interesting things as we were talking about the rhythm dance placements was the order of the French teams, because Loisia Demagé and Théo Lemercier were ahead of La Pareva Brousseau, which felt kind of shocking. And I actually, I mean, I love Loisia and Théo as well. I love both of these teams so much.
So do I, yes.
It's a travesty that France has two spots and probably one of these teams is the one that gets left out. But that was really interesting to me. And then they ultimately switched spots in the free dance. But they ended up, what, like less than half a point apart with La Pareva and Brousseau beating them. So that was really fascinating and just, I think, sets up a really good sub-headline story for the course of the season between these two teams trying to get an Olympic spot. So that's my only other comment. It's just some of the rhythm dance scoring was very interesting, but then it seemed to shake out kind of the way you would expect. But well,
yes.
I mean, I say that, but ultimately based on past performance, I would have expected La Pareva Brousseau to be higher than Green Parsons and the Tashler siblings. So yeah, that is all very interesting. So I just like the French team ranking stood out to me as something just to keep an eye on as the season gets more underway.
And we will be keeping an eye on those French teams this entire season.
As we always are, because love watching those French teams.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Now, to run through what else happened at Nepala, I watched a few of these programs. In the men's, Kevin Amos wins. Matteo Rizzo comes away with the silver medal. Daniel Grotzel is bronze. Memela, who we saw at Lombardia not too long ago, he was eighth here. One thing I want to say is that Daniel Grotzel's free skate, it starts with he takes one push, and then all you hear over the loudspeaker is, "The Pope is dead." And I want you to know that I said, okay, I'm turning this off, because when I watch this program.
Because as an Irish Catholic.
As somebody who wishes they were Scottish.
As a proud Scottish man.
I said to myself, I need to give the papacy the respect of watching this for the first time at a Grand Prix. I can't,
right.
I am not going to watch this. So the Pope is dead. I said, stop. And I
nope.
did. Stop. I said, no.
Pope is alive until I say so.
Exactly. There's no smoke. Okay.
No,
there's
no
absolutely
smoke.
No smoke. And I said, I'm waiting.
Did
I am
Ashley,
waiting
did you
until.
You watched it though, right?
I haven't gotten around to watching it yet.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if
no, because
you, had seen it.
You know why I haven't seen it yet? Because I spent
you
my time
the papacy.
Watching Tomas Laurent Guarino Sabate of Spain's Minions program, which
yes.
we must talk about with our yeah. remaining time, because that to me is more important than the papacy.
Or as is. Equally important.
No more.
The Minions program.
Listen.
I mean.
Say what you want about the level of taste. Sure. But if you are not a threat for the podium, do this. Do this.
I mean, do
Why
something.
Not? Do something. He's at least doing this. He's
well, this
duck
is the thing
walking.
Is like
he
when
is
you're
duck
not
walking.
I mean, when you're not going to win, you know, or even potentially go to the Olympics, like
True.
You like the best thing you can do earlier in your career is find a way that you can stand out.
Mm-hmm. I will never
and
forget
sometimes
this man.
There's something. Yeah. Sometimes there's something technical that people can do. Sometimes they're great at classical music. Sometimes, but like this, if this is your thing, lean into it. I love it.
You know who he reminds me of? Adam. You're going to have to help me remember his. No. No. Could you imagine? Adam. No. Okay. He was older when we came onto the scene, and he would do like
Albon Probert.
Correct. Albon Probert. That is exactly who he reminds
she
me of.
She didn't even start describing him.
It's because that's
because
who he is.
I knew Ashley looked at me in the eyes and I said, "You mean the bumblebee Albon Probert?"
Yeah.
Yeah. We yeah. share the same
one brain.
Brain.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I mean, good for
too.
Him. I love
I
it.
Did too.
Why? Now, I have a question, you guys. When
we have an answer,
maybe
when Zach Donahue was talking about there is a lot of woke skating is like all throughout the culture. Is this woke skating or is this conservative skating?
Oh, great question.
No, the Minions are woke to me,
mm-hmm. but they're pro gun.
Are they? You may have seen more as a person with a small child. You may have seen more Minions movies than me. So
I mean, they're like
well, in Despicable Me. It's all about the Second Amendment. <It's> like,
oh
Despicable
my God!
Me.
Despicable Me is
the Second Amendment.
Yeah, yeah, it's indoctrination
yeah.
movies.
Despicable yeah. Me, Despicable
to care
You.
Second Amendment.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say it's conservative, which
interesting
only goes against. I can't speak for Tomas, but
I'm just
know.
Not sure if Tomas. Do we think Tomas is bred for war or no?
Well, maybe
no.
B-R-E-A-D.
Because not all men are. And if he's not, then I would tend to agree with Ashley, conservative. Yeah.
Well, when
we're
Hard when the say. Minions were screaming banana over the loudspeaker and he was falling on a flying sit spin, I did not feel like it was bred for competition. I don't.
It was bred for entertainment, though. Speaking of bred for competition,
it was bred for the table. How about that? Would you like bread for the table? It was bread.
It was a carb.
For the table.
Yeah. It was a carb. Before we have to wrap this episode,
can I say something about the women at Nepala, or should I before we wrap?
Oh, I was going to say one thing about Kevin Amos.
Oh, please. Sorry.
Short program, I still can't entirely get behind. I don't know if I'm crazy about it.
You're not.
And just like, I want to, but no.
I think it's just so hard to do something like a Lady Gaga well on the ice. I just think it's so hard. I mean, you know, like we saw Alyssa, I think, is like working through mm-hmm. her cuts of music. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's really hard to do, especially when you're using original recordings. Like I think mm-hmm. one of the strengths that Amber has gotten out of this Madonna program is the use of the choir version, because I don't have a lot of preconceived notions about that version of this song outside yeah. of like my TikTok thing. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Whereas when it's a song that I know, because it's the OG recording, if it's not just how I pictured it, then it's not quite right for me. And you're going to have a million different versions of that across the viewership.
You're setting yourself up to disappoint people.
It's just very hard.
It's really tough. So the short program, I'm like, I really love Kevin. And so I want to get behind. I love Kevin and I love Lady Gaga. So in theory, I should love this. And yet I don't. And so that mm-hmm. feels tough for me to stomach. It feels disappointing to me. This Bolero long program, I love it. Sarah's shaking her head.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm watching him skate it. He's eating it up. You can tell he loves it. And so
I mean, he should. He's done it before. He better.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, no. I do think he does a good bolero. I was not making that face as like I hate it. I think he does a very good bolero. I'm just, people can repeat programs all they want. It just makes me like, the more we have to talk about repeat programs, the more I'm like, wow, another one. Another one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another one.
Well, I mean, I just have no leg to stand on when it comes to that. So I already jump past that judgment, which is why I go to like, it's great, I love it. Like he clearly is like eating that fantasy up. So good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't have a lot to say about the women at Nepala. This was not like a star-studded event in terms of like people we think will contend for an Olympic podium necessarily.
It was an Italian sweep.
Lara Naki Gutman won, but these scores generally were like low. Like Lara won with a 202 total. I didn't think she skated as well as she did last week. When we first saw Jaws, I thought this was a little bit. This wasn't as good as that, mm-hmm. which doesn't matter. It wasn't her as strong as before. She still won pretty easily here.
Really good for her. There's only that one Italian spot. Like this, it's going to be really interesting. Like who gets it?
Yeah.
I think at this moment completely. It feels like it's hers.
Yeah, it does.
Completely true. I'm pointing. I'm pointing out that just. She would have been fifth at Nebelhorn the same weekend, like mm-hmm. in terms of what we saw, it just was not like as high a level as of a competition. Two things I will call out from this though. Kim Chaeyeon from South Korea.
Yeah. Yikes.
I feel like what's happening to her is that the better she gets at like emoting and expression, the worse she gets.
It's almost like it's hard. to
emote. It's almost like it's hard because you have to be present. You have to be present to be a performer. It is not easy. And so like for you to open up that presence on the ice, it's going to open up this awareness of what's at stake. And this is why I will stand behind performers who can't land their jumps because they're doing something that's so, so, so hard.
Yeah, I think it definitely, that's how it feels to me. Like right away when her short program started, I felt like I saw a difference in the way she was skating and performing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the jumps were not there. You know, she ended up 12th at this competition, which is crazy to say. I mean, she's a world medalist, you know, but she used to. And that's a shame, right? We talk about this all the time. Like, you can't get anything. You can't achieve anything without the jumps. Yeah. And, you know, so I do think she's improving on the second mark side of her skating, but at what cost?
I mean, but also think of what that must feel like to have Gia entering senior.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of changing her competitive scene as well, and things are shifting and there's a different kind of pressure nationally. I mean,
the South Korean field is going to feel crowded really quick.
Mm-hmm.
It already does.
Yeah. So I just want to call that out. And then we also saw the return of New Jersey's finest, Ava Marie Ziegler.
I saw this.
She did not skate that well, especially in the free skate, did not skate well. The short program, she was fine, actually. Mm-hmm. The short program, my favorite thing that she did is she skated to This Is a Man's World. And she skated to a live recording of it. So there's like
applause?
Cheering sounds. Which kind of genius, actually, especially at Nebula, which was sadly like so empty.
Yeah.
And so I was like, where is the cheering coming from? Because there's no one in the stands.
It's coming from New Jersey.
It's coming from New Jersey. It's coming from a jazz club in like 1954 when this was
Cherry
recorded.
Creek Mall.
So I do, it does feel kind of genius, honestly, to use a live recording that has cheering sounds. It's like having a laugh track on a sitcom and you're more inclined to laugh because you hear people laughing.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Kind of love it.
I have two things before we wrap. Sarah Maud Dupuy, great triple axel attempt.
Okay.
She stood up. She'll do it this season. She'll become the first Canadian woman to do triple axel in competition, I believe. And the last thing was Anna Pezzetta's short program music is the worst music I've ever heard in my life.
What is it?
It's not good. It's not good. Exactly.
Great. It's awful. And on that
is
note.
Is it just music that has no rights to worry about?
It sounds like the woman who's singing it is going to lose her rights when she's done performing this song.
Adam, that's awful.
I don't know how somebody played it and she went, yes.
This is it.
I'm going to do this for a season.
I don't even see it listed. I don't remember what it's called.
It's blacklisted. And it's not listed.
It's blacklisted. It's been wiped from the internet.
It's the craziest music I've... It's awful.
Anna Pezzetta appears to me to be... Everything looks a little bit harder than it used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like with Lara, the experience is paying off.
Yeah.
Anna doesn't have it yet. It's like she's got to fast track it if she wants to be on the Olympic team.
Well, Anna, is this second year senior?
Yes. I think that's
hardest
right.
Year. Mm-hmm. Hardest year senior. Right. So it's just tough timing wise.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, not. Wow. Nope.
Great weekend of skating, everyone.
What do we have to look forward to?
Great recapping it with you guys.
It's always great. It's always a pleasure.
Delightful time. What do we have to look forward to? The next thing on the calendar is Dennis Ten Memorial is this week.
Okay.
And there's some... junior skating, but not as heavy of a weekend coming up as this past weekend. So,
well,
so more aimless conversation for us to have.
Fabulous. Yes.
And then the weekend after that is the Grand Prix, correct? or incorrect?
No,
or
do we have 2 weeks? Grand Prix start the the Grand Prix start the week of the 13th is the Monday, so like October 17th weekend is when we start Grand Prix France. Fabulous!
I can't wait for the draft. Let the games begin.
I haven't even started thinking about my draft strategy.
And
you
I
need to start planning.
Won't make one.
And yeah, and Ashley won't have one. And that's actually worked out really well for her so far.
Yeah, because she wins in the end.
It doesn't until the end. So.
Yeah.
On that note, everybody, thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week with another episode of The Run Through. Bye.
Bye.